Your next speaker is Lyndall R. Doty.
We're so glad to have each of you present this morning. We have 506 in attendance. We're especially thankful for those of you who may be visiting with us. We invite you to take one of those blue cards that you find in front of you and fill out the visitor's side for us. We'd love to have a record of your visit. If you're visiting with us, please take one of those and acknowledge your presence so that we might acknowledge our appreciation. We're glad to have Sister Yalta Young with us today. We're glad to have her out enough that she can be with us today. We're pleased to see her. Now, perhaps some others who've not been able to be here and are here, and we're glad that you especially are with us this morning. Would you bow with me, please, as we pray together? Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful unto Thee for this day, for the blessing You've given to us, for the privilege of prayer, and for the privilege of the study of Thy Word. We're thankful for it, and we pray that we may put it into practice in our lives. Help us to live in according and in keeping with Thy instructions. We know that it's better for us when we do. And we pray, Father, that we may recognize it and accept it as Thy will and live it out in our lives. Father, we're mindful of those of our number who are sick, those who are distressed, those who are perplexed, and those who may have special needs. And we pray that their needs might be met as they have them. And Father, we pray today especially for those of our number who have very serious illnesses. We pray that they might be recovered if it be Thy will. Continue to bless us throughout life. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. In the context of the passage that I asked to be read today in Matthew chapter 27, verse 15 through 26, is found Pilate's question with regard to Jesus. You recall the setting, how that Jesus now stands before the mob of the Jews. Pilate is there trying to find some way to alleviate the problem that he had with what to do with Jesus. He found or fell upon a suggestion as to what he might do or what alternative he might have. He picked the worst murderer, reprobate, rebel leader that he had in jail. And thinking that they would choose this man over Jesus, offered them their alternative. Which will you have me release to you, Barabbas or this Jesus who's done nothing? Barabbas who's the murderer or Jesus who's the innocent one? Much to his surprise, I think, we find that the crowd cries out, "Give us Barabbas. Give us Barabbas." And Jesus is standing there, of course, hearing all of this. Pilate turns to Jesus and perhaps with a gesture says, "Well, what then shall I do with this man who's called Jesus, who's the Christ, or who calls himself the Christ?" They respond by saying, "Crucify him. Crucify him." And there was a tumult that arose about this. Evidently, the mob became more and more vocal in their asking to destroy Jesus. "Crucify him. Crucify him." Pilate said, "What shall I do with him?" And they said, "Crucify him." Today, we too must answer the question, as did with Pilate, "What shall I do with Jesus?" We have a song in our songbook entitled that, "What Will You Do with Jesus?" Every person must come to that decision and to that question, "What will I do with Jesus?" Pilate was in a fix. He wanted to get rid of the problem. He wanted to find out a way to eliminate his difficulty. And yet he knew that he couldn't really remove himself from it. He tried to wash his hands. And yet we still recognize that Pilate was to some extent at fault for Jesus' crucifixion. Many only see this question as it applies to the non-Christian today. They say to the non-Christian, "What will you do with Jesus?" And it's a good question. We must look at the evidences of God's Word. We must examine it. We must either accept Him as what He claims He is, what the Bible says that He is, the Christ, the Son of God. Accept Him as Lord. in meeting the conditions of doing so, or we must reject him. There's no middle ground. Because in rejecting him or in not accepting him, you have rejected him. And that's true that the non-Christian must look and see. But it is also true that the Christian must answer the question from day to day. Each day as he goes through life, and as we go through life, we must ask ourselves the question, what will I do with Jesus today? What am I doing with Jesus today? What shall I do with the name that I wear today? What decision must I make in light of my relationship to the Lord today? What shall I do with Jesus? The disciples knew that they too needed to be converted. They needed to be converted and become as little children. Matthew chapter 18 and verse 3. And Peter is told, when you are converted, then feed my sheep. Luke chapter 22, verse 31 to 32. Many Christians are willing to give up things for the Lord, but are not in fact willing to give themselves to the Lord. And that's what the question is all about. What shall I do with Jesus? And I want you to put yourself, if you will, today in the situation or in the position of asking yourself the question, what shall I do with Jesus? Well, let's look at what some people in the New Testament did. And maybe that'll help us to see our own situation. First of all, there were some in the New Testament who would not follow him, or if they did follow him, left off following him. There were those in the New Testament who, because of the Jews who rejected him and plotted to kill him because of what he taught, they were willing to reject him. They were not willing to follow him. He taught them that they were not to sin, and to rebuke sin in their presence and to their face. No matter who was involved, the rulers were rebuked because of sin. The Pharisees were told, woe unto you, ye hypocrites, for the sin that you do. It didn't make any difference who it was. Jesus rebuked sin in whomever life he might have found it. He pointed out the hypocrisy of men. He required sacrifice and not just a show of sacrifice. He required a man be willing to give up and deny himself and come and take up the cross and follow after him. Luke 14, verse 26 to 33. And many were unwilling to do that during that period of time. And there are many who are unwilling to do that today, aren't there? There were some who were disciples. They actually followed him for a while. And in John chapter 6 and verse 66, the Bible says, upon this, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Now here were disciples. Here were people who the term itself means learners and followers of Jesus. They were learners and they were followers of Jesus. They were following him wherever he went to listen to his teaching. And they were trying to learn from him. But from the time that he spoke these things, they would not any longer follow him. Why? Many of them couldn't understand the nature of the kingdom. They couldn't understand that Jesus was talking about spiritual things and not physical things. They wanted the physical things, but they did not really care about the spiritual things. And so we find here in John chapter 6 and verse 26, Jesus answered them and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, seek me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate of the loaves and of the fishes. There were many people who were following Jesus simply for what they could get out of it. They'd been fed a couple times. They had been provided for. And he says, you didn't do it because of the sign. You did it because of what you could get out of it. But when the time came that people knew that Jesus was headed for trouble, that they too, if they followed him, would be heading for trouble. If he continued to teach what he taught, they knew that the scribes and the Pharisees were going to do something about him. And from that time on, they refused to follow him. Now, what would you have done had you been a learner and follower of Jesus at this time? What would you have done? People today will not follow him for the same reasons that they didn't then. People today will not follow Jesus because their sins are rebuked, because hypocrisy is pointed out, because too much is required of them. People today cease to follow him because of lack of faith. They had a lack of faith. People today will not work because they lack in that faith and they do not have the trust which requires or motivates them to work for Him and serve Him and live each day for Him. And yet, we look down our noses, if you please, at those people in the New Testament who no longer follow Jesus. But we have a multitude of people today who are not really following Jesus anymore. They've left Him. And maybe some of you have left off following Jesus. We follow our own inclinations. We follow our own natural desires. We follow Him only to the extent that it may help us, just like these people did. Are you following Jesus? Or have you forsaken Jesus? What will you do with Jesus? What are you doing with Him? Now, secondly, some in the New Testament denied Him. In answer to this question, what shall I do with Jesus? They answered it by denying Him. Peter denied Him. Matthew chapter 26, verse 72. Luke chapter 22. In the parallel accounts, we find that Jesus had told Peter, He said, "Now, Peter, don't be too boastful. You're going to deny me three times this night, before the night ends, three times." And Jesus said, Peter said, "Not so, Lord. If I have to die, I will not. I will not deny thee." And yet, when the time came, when the test came, when the trial came, Peter denied Him three times, and the third time, even with cursings. The Bible says that Jesus looked out and saw Peter, and Peter looked up and saw Jesus. And he remembered what the Lord had said, "Tonight, three times you'll deny me." What Peter thought was impossible had come to pass. And he went out and wept bitterly. He denied Him. But also there were others who denied Jesus. And Luke, in John chapter 12, in verse 42 and 43, "Nevertheless, even of the rulers, many believed on Him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess it, lest they should be put out of the synagogue, for they loved the praise or the glory that is of men more than the glory that is of God." These rulers, these people who had position in the synagogues, actually accepted the evidence which Jesus had presented and the signs which Jesus had demonstrated to prove that He was what He was. But they refused to confess that He was the Christ because they loved the glory that is of men more than the glory that is of God. They were more concerned about the relationship they had with people than they were about being right with God. Would you have denied Jesus? What will we do with Jesus? Peter denied Him. The rulers denied Him. Would you have denied Him? Do you? Some do today because they will not confess Him this very hour and obey Him. Do you realize that you're either for Jesus or against Him? This morning, those of you who are not Christians are against Jesus because you are not for Jesus. You have not become obedient to His will. You have not obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. You have not put Him on. And this morning, those of us who may have and who have gone astray are not for Him. We're against Him. We have chosen to seek the world and not seek the Lord. We have chosen to follow the world and not to follow Jesus. Some Christians today do forsake Him. They do deny Him because they do not live the confession that they've made. The Hebrew writer says, "Hold fast the confession that you've made." And that's what living the Christian life is. It's holding on and holding fast to the confession that we made that Jesus is Christ and is my Lord. Some Christians deny Jesus to have the praise of men rather than the praise of God. You say, "Oh, that doesn't happen." Yes, it does. And some of us are doing it. When we make a choice each day and we choose to go along with the world, or we choose to compromise the truth, or we choose to make an ethical decision that is in opposition to Christianity, we have denied Jesus just as surely as Peter did and just as surely as these rulers had done in times past. Some deny Jesus by not putting Him first today. The Lord demanded that we seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and the things which we have need of will be added unto us. But instead of that, we put the Lord about 10th or 12th or 15th, if we put Him any place at all, in priority and in places of importance. When physical problems come our way, you know what comes off first? The Lord comes off first. We'll go to work, but we refuse to come to worship services. When we have a little problem, an ache or a pain, it's strange to me that we have more problems with aches and pains on Sunday morning and Sunday night than we do any other time during the week. It indicates to me, and I think from experience in my own life, that we do not have the Lord first. Many people do not like what is being taught. They do not have time to visit. They do not have time to teach. I've known of people who can't get out in the winter, and then when summertime comes, they can't get out in summer. And when spring comes, they can't get out in spring. And when fall comes, they can't get out in fall. In other words, they can't get out at any time for the Lord, but they can get out any time they want to for themselves. I've had people say, I can't get out in the night air, and then seen them at a ball game on Friday night. I've had people say, oh, I can't come to the gospel meeting like we're going to have in October before long. It's going to be on us. I can't come to the gospel meeting. I don't get out at night much. I once heard a story about a preacher who was holding a gospel meeting at a place, and a fellow came one to the morning service, and he said, I'm sorry that I'm not going to be able to be here at the evening services. I just don't get out at night. He said, oh, I'm sorry. Do you have a problem or some physical? And he says, yes, I have a problem with my lungs. That night air just really hurts my lungs. And he said, oh, well, that's a shame. And he noticed a pretty little lapel pin on his lapel. And he said, Tommy, he said, that's an unusual lapel pin. What is that? He said, oh, that's my lodge pin. He said, that's my good attendance record. I haven't missed a Tuesday night for years. Now, that's the kind of thing I'm talking about. What shall I do with Jesus? Some people have flat out denied Him. They have put other things first. They put their clubs, they put every kind of lodge, they can put every kind of activity except what they ought to be doing for the Lord. When financial reverses come, have a little difficulty with finances in a month, what comes off first? I'll tell you what comes off first in a lot of people's lives. Contribution comes off first. Now, I know that that happens. It's a human weakness. You see, we can't see necessarily all the time and observe the benefits we receive from giving, because that's rewards laid up in heaven, isn't it? We want a bush in the hand. That's worth two in the bush. I mean, a bird in the hand. That's worth two in the bush, isn't it? We think that way. But remember, when you deny the Lord and you do not serve Him and you do not have faith enough to trust in Him to follow His teachings, then you are in fact saying, I deny Him. We cut back on the church first. Our time. When time becomes a problem, when we have, you know, we get our fingers involved in too many business activities and too many things, you know, we got going for us. What comes off first? I don't have time to serve the church anymore. I don't have time to serve the Lord anymore. I've got to be about my business. I've got to be about my lodge. I've got to be about my club. I've got to be about my other things. Now, don't tell me it doesn't happen, because I know it does. It happens on Sunday night. It happens on Wednesday night. If there's a choice between some meeting in the community, I know brethren who will go to the meeting of the community instead of the meeting of the Lord's saints. Now tell me you haven't denied the Lord by putting Him third or fourth or fifth or wherever you put Him. Brethren, it's time that we stood up and be counted. It's time we recognize that we're forsaking the Lord when we put other things before Him. And the reason that we have a problem with indifference, it's a lack of commitment, a lack of determination to accept Jesus Christ as Lord first and be willing to confess Him and not deny Him in our actions and in our words. Thirdly, Judas sold Him. Judas, what will you do with Jesus? I'm going to sell him for 30 pieces of silver, about $15. That's what I'm going to sell him for. Many people follow Jesus just because of the benefits. And many people today are willing to use him, but not be willing to be used by him. I know people who are members of congregations because it's politically expedient. That kind of thinking and that kind of relationship, I'm sure, from what the Lord teaches, will send one as quick as anything I know to hell. Many are selling Jesus today, and that they are followers only for the gain they might get. I heard of a man and a woman who went to a community, moved in, and joined five different churches so they could benefit from those five memberships in their business. You say, how terrible. And yet I know some people who use the church that way. Social position, prominence in politics. Rulers sold Jesus for the glory of men. And many people today sell Jesus for the same thing. How much will you sell Jesus for? What's your price? In a more obvious way, when we have a responsibility as God's people to come together to worship, to be in the Lord's presence, where Jesus says, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. When we're instructed to worship God, when we're instructed to be of service to Him in worship, to become more like Him, drawing nigh to Him, that He might draw nigh to us, and we choose to do something else instead, we're selling Him for whatever it is. When we have a responsibility, have an ability, have a talent that we ought to be serving the Lord with, and we use that talent or ability for some other activity or some other service or some other function in the community, we are selling the Lord for whatever praise we get from that service in the community. I don't think you can deny that. Brethren, we need to get down to serious business about our relationship to the Lord. Some have sold Him today. Some have sold them for a recreational trip. Some have sold them for what they might have received from being away tonight or Wednesday night, Sunday morning. And normally it's not very much. What would you sell the Lord for? Let me just ask you. What amount of money would you have taken to forsake the assembly today? And I'm not talking about being sick, not being able to come, emergencies come up. I'm talking about if you were laying in bed and you had the choice of getting up or staying in bed or doing something else, and they were going to pay you that amount to not come, what would you have sold out for? And you say, well, I'll tell you what, I wouldn't have sold out for what Judas sold out for. I wouldn't have sold out for $15. $15 would not have kept me away today. Would 50? Now you think about it a minute. Would 50? Would 100? If you had the choice of forsaking, violating Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, forsaking the assembly, just, I will not go today. I'm going to stay home for this amount. How much would it take? How about 500? Be careful, because some of you are selling for a lot less than that. The only difference between some of us and Judas is the price. What will you do with Jesus? Some crucified Him. We think of those people who stood there and looked at Jesus with his back beaten and broken and slashed, and that crown of thorns and that blood flowing down his face, and that pitiful look he must have had, that robe thrown across his shoulders, standing there before this mob. Crucify him! Crucify him! Crucify him! We say, how terrible, how hard-hearted could those people be? Their answer to the question, what shall I do with Jesus, was crucify Him, destroy Him, get Him away, put Him on the cross. My friends, Christians today, the Bible teaches in Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 6, also crucify Him. How? He says, when you live a life that is not in harmony with the Christian life, when you live a life that is out of harmony with God's will, when you live in a public way to bring shame and reproach upon the body of Jesus Christ, you crucify Him afresh and put Him to an open shame. It's like we were there standing before the cross and observing, just like those Roman soldiers did who stood there and observed and watched Him crucify Jesus and not say a thing in the world about it. Anytime we cause people to speak against the name of Christ or His body by the actions that we take, we crucify Jesus. We put a nail to His hand and take the mallet in our hand and drive it through His flesh. Let us be careful. Let us exhort one another. Let us encourage one another. Let us strengthen one another that we live better, that we do not crucify the Son of the living God afresh. But you know, there were some, in answer to this question, what shall I do with Jesus, who accepted Him. After He was crucified and He was with His disciples, He was taken into heaven on the day of Pentecost. The good news was completely and profoundly proclaimed. When Peter, in answer to the question, when they convinced the people that were there that they had crucified the Son of God, they cried out, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" They were repentant, or they were at least believers. They were wanting to do something. They were sorry. And Peter said, "Repent ye, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promises unto you and to your children, to all those who are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call unto Him. They therefore that gladly received His word were baptized, and there were added unto them in that day 3,000. Isn't it wonderful to know that not everybody stopped following Him? Not everybody forsook Him. Not everybody denied Him. Not everybody sold Him. Not everybody crucified Him. There were some who accepted Him and followed Him. And in answer to the question, what will you do with Jesus? They said, we will follow Him. We will obey Him. We will serve the Lord Jesus Christ. And they confessed their faith. And they were baptized into Christ. And they lived that kind of life. My friends, I urge you today that you be in that category. Why won't you accept Jesus as your Savior today? Jesus said, except you believe that I am He, you shall die in your sins. He tells us that we are to repent, we're to confess, we're to be baptized into Christ, that we're to live right, live faithfully to the best of our ability, walk in the light as He is in the light. Jesus said, why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? If you say that Jesus is your Lord, there's one way to prove it, and only one. Live in keeping with His will. If you're here today and you've not obeyed the gospel, do so right now. If you've gone astray, come back right now while we're standing and while we're singing.